What's happening, everybody? We're back with another episode of the QB List podcast. It's Brian and Mario coming at you on Tuesday, August 11th, with all of the draft news, all of the madness. We've got news, we've got updates, and of course, camp battles coming here today. Mario, how are we doing today?
Brian, I am doing fantastic because every Monday we talk about the camps, all this good stuff. We are one Monday closer to actually doing meaningful fantasy drafts, right? So I couldn't be more excited.
Hey, we've got football on TV. It's so exciting, man. There's so much happening. So much good. A lot of bad. There's a lot of bad in the news, folks, but it's okay. Optimism. Let's go ahead and start off with something good, though. Let's talk with Jonathan Taylor. Two-year extension, $44 million. 47 up to is what the max of the deal can look like. $39 million guaranteed. Not too shabby for my boy. Extended through 2028. The Colts paying an older running back, it's not how they conduct business. But I can say I'm happy with this one as a Colts fan, as a fantasy player, as an NFL fan, man. I'm glad our running backs are getting some money.
Absolutely. And like you said, as a Colts fan, you know, he's going to have to he was the bright spot for the Colts last year, especially after Danny Dimes got hurt. So happy he got his, and he'll be motivated on my fantasy team this year. So I'm excited.
I hope so. Or otherwise, he got paid and maybe there is no motivation. Who can tell?
Oh, don't say
that. We'll find out. We'll find out. Hopefully the season isn't a wash, but I bet it's going to be another 8-9 season. As usual, let's go to Chicago. Let's talk Luther Burden. A groin is going to cost him his preseason. 3 to 4 weeks is what we're looking at. Optimistic that he can return for week one. Already we saw a video of him today. We're recording this on Monday. But we saw a video coming out of him today. He's walking. We don't even have a limp, so we have to take that as a positive sign. Mario, how are you looking at this?
You feel good that there's no limp, but I'll say right now I see him going as about wide receiver 20. I'm going to expect that to dip a little bit, but maybe that's a good thing for you, right? If your league mates are going to be a little bit more cautious, absolutely no shame in being like, listen, even if he does miss week one, still take the best player available. So I obviously stinks for him, excited about Chicago's offense this year, but I wouldn't let it deter me from drafting him.
Yeah, definitely a lesser as far as my exposure to Luther Burden. But a lot of it's been the price. It's not the talent. It's not the opportunity. It's nothing like that. I'm just I'm a bargain shopper, man. That's what I'm looking for. So I'm hoping if he just falls even a handful of spots in drafts, maybe the back end of the round he's going in now, I would love to be able to have that opportunity to get a little bit more of him.
For sure.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. The alarms are sounding, folks. We freaked out last year. There was a calf injury, just a tiny calf tweak. And what did we get? Fantasy brilliance from Christian McCaffrey last year. What do we have right now? We got a little tightness. You know? It's beating a little faster today. We're a little nervous. But I think we can make it through. Mario, have the panic alarms sound yet for you?
Oh, this feels like an annual tweet, right? Like, this is a scheduled report from Schefter at this point. It's just like CMC misses a practice, tightness. It's tough. I'll say if you were going to draft Christian McCaffrey in the first round, I don't think this was going to stop you. Like, you know what's going to happen, right? You're either going to draft him and he plays all 16 and 17 games and you're going to win the chip. Or you're going to draft him, he gets hurt week two, your season's over. It's just, it's par for the course. It's what you get with CMC. I'm not deterred. But that damn substation, right? It's just another notch in the substation's belt.
Yeah, dude, that Twitter account for the substation right now, it's goated. Absolutely goated. speaking about annual tweet, let's talk about J.K. Dobbins.
Oh.
Man, I've loved this player for so long. So
love this player.
I feel like I have earned the right to toss a couple stabs his way. But man, dealing with a reported soft tissue issue, we've got to monitor this. End of the day, I think all three of these guys are going to finish with the exact same amount of points on the year. It's just who's playing when.
That's right, right? I mean, JK was terrific last year, and then even the backup once he kind of started taking over. RJ Harvey, he really did not impress me, even when you had the full lion's share of opportunities. So to me, I'm still targeting Dobbins over the two, but like you said, it's like, they're going to get the same amount of points. It's just that RJ Harvey is going to play 17 games. Dobbins is going to get you those condensed points and then be hurt. So I don't know. Take Dobbins, try to flip him at the right time, time the market. That's always worked, right? So I don't know. It stinks, but I'm still monitoring.
Yeah, day three rookie, Jonah Coleman. I'm sure we're going to see a little bit of a spike in his light spike in his ADP just for, you know, redraft. We're not taking as many handcuffs, especially a double handcuff, a half handcuff. Yeah.
Hiccup of the hiccup.
Laremy Tunsil. Yes, we're going to talk a little tackle action here. Why is it relevant? Well, because he was traded from Houston to the Commanders in the offseason. And it's a pretty big blow to the offensive line. He has torn his tricep. Optimism, he can play in the postseason. I think it's optimism to even say the word postseason in Washington right now. This just hurts because Stephon Diggs coming to Washington really solidified my QB3 ranking on Jaden Daniels. He is still in that tier. QB3, 4, and 5 is the same tier for me. He might be moving closer to 5 than 3. We're splitting hairs. Like, does this even matter ultimately with what I'm saying with that? Probably not. But just the fact that this does play into my outlook on him. What about you, Mario?
No, I totally agree. It's kind of, we're going to get to it later in this episode, but the running game was already a question mark for this team. So I'll say it doesn't really affect that. But you make a good point about Jaden Daniels. Not only did they trade for him, the Commanders, but I believe they also extended Tunsil as well. So they signed him. It kind of reminds me of what happens with the Chargers almost every year, where it's like Joe Oak got paid, got hurt. So it's just, they're doing the right moves. It's just, we got to turn injuries off. And as a lineman, you need your tries, right? Like your job is to shove the guys off you. So even if he does come, even if they somehow make the postseason, I think they're finishing fourth. You wouldn't feel great about starting him. So they probably rest him regardless. So it stinks, but like you said, Jaden Daniels, if you're a believer in him, I am not. You're still going to take him high.
Last lineman, I promise, folks. Spencer Fano, the 9th overall pick for the Cleveland Browns. Look, they had to completely reshape this offensive line. Lost everybody. There is a retooling at all 5 spots here, but Fano looks like he's going to line at the left tackle. It's great news. No matter which of the 3 soon-to-be-4 quarterbacks are going to be playing there, because Anthony Richardson sounds like he will be cut if not traded by the start of the season. Heading on down to Cleveland. Come on, baby. Would that not be fun? Would we not love a little Anthony Richardson action there in Cleveland just to add to the madness?
Oh, my gosh. Who's Tony Rich losing the job to in Indy now that even with Danny Dimes being hurt?
Riley Leonard, the, was it 6th or 7th round? The kid from Notre Dame. They're staying with the hometown feels there. It's great.
Oh, I guess. Nobody likes it.
And Papa Phil. Papa Phil's going to be coming back if we really
need him. Is he coming back? I hope
not. Come on. Oh, we're staying with the Browns here. Denzel Boston, the 2nd of 2 wide receivers they took in the early rounds there. The early 2nd round pick Denzel Boston was. Looks like he's running with the first team. Jerry Judy's there. You also have Casey Concepcion, the 1st round wide receiver the Browns took. But it looks like Denzel Boston's the one that's making the splash. Is this really something relevant? I guess it's just keep the name involved, because I'm not drafting a whole lot of Browns wide receivers.
I'm not drafting a whole lot of Browns offensive positional players, right? I mean, we've talked about, we like Fannin, of course, the running back, we think. Judkins, Studkins, we like him, but I'm not drafting a pass catcher besides those two. So, no, I'm not really interested. A name to watch, right? Or in a really deep league, maybe you're starting 3 wide receivers and a 12-man. I can't even see in a 10-man 3 wide receiver. I'm looking at this guy.
Maybe it's more of a chopped league is what we're talking about here.
Yes.
This great is the example. League, you know, you're drafting 18 teams. It's very, very deep as far as what you're drafting with. So maybe that's just more the concern as far as your leagues. Isaiah Pacheco dealing with an MCL sprain. Lions expected him to be ready for the regular season. Look, folks, I looked at the depth chart of the Lions. They're going to add somebody. I feel like they're going to either add somebody if Pacheco's seriously hurt, or if not, just because they need somebody else behind here. Like Najee Harris, I feel like you're a Lion, man.
I forgot about Najee Harris after his like eye issue last year, whatever it was. So
torn ACL, that's what knocked him out of the season.
Wow, okay, that's what it was. I'm thinking of somebody else. But
boy, he had an eye issue originally. It was the firework thing last.
Yes, okay. July. That's what it was. I was like, I know, you know, you remember a firework issue on a player, but I do agree. I mean, and I like Pacheco, but he really wasn't that great last year. And if he's hurt in camp, I could see them moving on. But I think I don't even think they paid him that much. So it wouldn't even cost him that much to move on. But
no, I mean, Kareem Hunt was still in goal line work from last year. He's still out there. He could be signed by somebody.
Oh, imagine.
Yeah. Could you imagine? Hunter Henry extended 2 years, $16 million. We're going to see him in the tight end streaming article this year. You don't draft him. You don't keep him on your team very often. Just good for Drake May, I guess. Question mark.
Great. Good for Drake May. And yes, you're absolutely right. There's going to be a week. Hunter Henry's going to get two, maybe three touchdowns. He's going to be the talk of the town, bell of the ball. Next week, he's going to get maybe two targets. So he's just one of those tight ends. You're going to try to play the matchups, maybe a bye week filler, but happy the guy got paid.
Malik Nabers, week one is trending up. Honestly, folks, like it's one of those points. I'm trying to get him everywhere I can. ADP is going to keep moving up. I'm snatching him up as much as I can.
Definitely. This is one of those perks of drafting early August, right? Like, you know, the Ricky Pearsalls, that's a con, but the Malik Nabers, that's a pro. So definitely eyeing him. I think the Giants offense is going to be electric this year. I'm really excited for what they do.
I really hope so. Jalen Waddle is doing things that he just does. He's out on the field waddling. Some call it limping, but you know, he's a little banged up. I expect to see this. Honestly, it's the whole Denver's team. It's the whole, both those running backs all year round dealt with issues. Waddle is going to deal with issues. Oh my gosh. Could you imagine Bo Nix dealing with injuries? Oh, shocker. Yeah. Aww. Denver, they just run too hard up there, I guess. I don't know.
Is there a substation up there? Like, has anybody checked?
You know what? Maybe that it flies at a higher rate as it leaves the earth, and that's what it's doing. It's going up in the atmosphere. Yeah.
On its way out, it just catches it. So
science, folks. Zay Flowers, just a few days after he got extended, day-to-day with quad contusion after he practiced collision. I'm fine. No big deal.
Yeah. No, I think he's going to be okay. I mean, Zay Flowers was electric last year. He was inconsistent, but he finished, I believe, top 12 wide receiver. So this isn't something I'm worried about.
I hope not. Let's go to Philly where there are concerns. Let's talk about Mekhi Lemon. Oh, my fella, my guy, what's going on? Hamstring injuries are lingering. He also missed mini camp. Some work up there. I don't feel good about this right now.
No, you don't feel good about a rookie missing time, right? Like, you know, sometimes with the veterans, like CMC, for instance, right? Like if I'm targeting CMC in my draft, this is an annual two. I'm not worried. Even Luther Burden, he's had a little bit of time in the offense, right? Especially with the head coach and everything. But Mekhi Lemon, first year, so rookie, he has to get acclimated. This, I'd like him to get as much camp as possible because it's just, you need him to get the reps, right? More than anything, you need him to get the reps. So we've always kind of seen the rookies pop off second half of the season anyways. Mbuka was kind of the exception last year, but I'm not liking this. If anything, to be optimistic, you're kind of now trying to get him in a bargain, right? We kind of said that about Luther Burden. Mm-hmm. So that would just be the only positive to spin zone out of this.
Yeah, I need his price to fall before I'm comfortable drafting Mekhi Lemon. I've always loved the quote. I think it was Mike Tomlin talked about it. Like, it's incredibly hard to get on a moving train. And like, that's what you're expecting the rookies to do when they miss time. You know, the train has already left the station. It's moving. Like you can't just grab on and hope you it's going to rip your arm off if you try and do that. And right now his hamstring's barely holding on.
Oh
yeah, I know. It's bad. Let's start Colts. All right. Yeah. We're getting crazy. We're having fun. We're having fun, folks.
We're Smile having fun. It's August.
Alec Pierce, dude is still coming back from this. He's on the active PUP, ankle surgery, no timetable. And then you got Josh Downs with a groin injury. Like, Keenan Allen, come on down. You are a Colt. Evidently, there was a report that the Colts offered something to Debo. He chose to go back home to San Francisco. Okay. Makes sense. I don't really see it as a knock on the Colts. I think he would have plugged in great. He would have plugged in right into what he played last year. But, you know, you go back home to what you know. So that makes sense to me. Definitely. Keenan Allen, though, this seems like the perfect fit at this point.
Keenan Allen, especially if Philip Rivers comes, I feel like that's a connection we've seen before.
My God, don't do that to me.
Oh, my God, I'd love to see that. And then, of course, you have Brandon Ayuk still available, right? So even a break glass in case. Yeah.
Dude, Brandon Ayuk might have to play for the Niners. The Niners and Brandon Ayuk might have to swallow their pride, and they both need each other. I don't think anybody else wants Ayuk. He has to prove that he can still play, and the Niners can't keep anybody healthy, so this is dangerously close to it's gonna be a reunion because he never left. Like, he's still part of the team.
He thinks he left.
God, it's ridiculous. But yeah, I'm freaking out with the Colts. I think that's why the JT extension is so pivotal, because it's gonna have to run through him.
I thought he's gonna get 25 carries. Yeah.
I said no more linemen. I should have said no more left tackles because we were done with that. So about Cade Mays real quick, the Lions center expected to miss significant time, reported 8 to 10 week recovery. That just stinks. I've been just the biggest Lions fan over the last couple months. So that one hurts.
Of course, it's a fun offense. You're still drafting Gibbs. You're not going to be deterred. Maybe you could worry about Goff a little bit. I got to admit, I'm kind of worried about Goff this year. I think the home Goff split is kind of over. I hate to say it, Brian. You could look at the articles I've written in the past. I love home Goff, but I think we're trending downward, and this especially is accelerating that trend. So
it's just Goff.
Something. Yeah, oh my gosh.
Just Goff. just like that joke and Sean Mannion, the new OC there in Philly. Folks, we're hoping. We are hoping some magic happens. But really, like, they're going to lean into the tush push. I'm excited. Jalen Hurts. Let's go back to that moon, baby.
Absolutely. And I think this is also good for Saquon, right? Like, everything I've heard is it seems like you want to get him back involved, which is great. Obviously, you're going to have those. Oh, my gosh. Not two. I'm forgetting the name of the backup right now. Tank Bigsby. Like, Bigsby. You're going to have those truthers. But I'm excited. I mean, if Lemon's healthy, this is going to be a terrific offense. And just a funny little spin here is that so Sean Mannion used to be the quarterback coach of Green Bay. Green Bay was one of the teams that voted to ban the tush push. And now here he is being like, oh, yeah, we're tush pushing. So love to see that.
Can't beat him. Join him.
That's it. Literally.
Last one we have here. Jordan Mason is going to be, he's coming out as the front runner. He's flashing. I know this old man, they're using words like flashing at camp right now. I still have him deep in my running back 30s. Could he finish RB26 and you still be disappointed with drafting him at RB38? I think so.
It's tough because, I mean, arguably you were disappointed. Like someone like Zay Flowers, right? Like he finished top 12, but had those weeks where you're just like, he lost you the week by not showing up. So it's tough when you have such fewer expectations for a guy. I mean, this is just going to be the kind of offense. You just hope he is a healthy body. You just want to take the guy that's the majority starter and hope he is the one that falls into the end zone, right? Like he's going to be your flex pick. You know, but even that, Kyler's got legs. So it's an ugly sitch.
And I still don't know if I believe in this offensive line enough. There's a lot of issues surrounding this. Definitely we could see points coming out of the running back room, but I don't see it happening that way. That's not for me. It's no for me, dog. As the late, great Topical. Randy Jackson would say.
He's still alive, dead?
Right? No.
Yeah, I think he's still alive. I think he's still alive. Wade Boggs, may you rest in peace.
Boggs is still alive. What are you talking about? All righty, folks. That time. We got to pivot. We're getting away from the news and the notes. Now we got to battle it out a little bit. We have some camp battles for you. We have some running backs, some wide receivers, and Mario and I are going to chitty chat about that. So here we go. That's right, baby. We got camp battles here. Gosh. You want to see how cool those graphics are? Go ahead and check out over there on our YouTube channel, QB List.
Yes.
That's where we got all the fun videos, fun shorts from me, Mario, and the rest of the game. We got Jay and Brett and all the fun fellas here. And, of course, all of the written content over there on QBList.com. Folks, it doesn't stop. This is the time when we go absolutely wild. So here we go. Let's talk about our first battle here. It's Travion Henderson and Ramondre Stevenson. We're talking about Travion Henderson. We're going sleeper, ESPN, and Yahoo across the board with these ADPs. Henderson, we have 405, 610, and 510. Ramondre Stevenson, we're looking at 702, 1005, and 712. So everywhere you are drafting him, Stevenson is going behind Henderson. We literally had this conversation last year. So I feel like I'm taking crazy pills because why are we so convinced it's going to happen? It's going to be any different than last year.
I have absolutely no idea. For me, I mean, this is a great one to start with, right? Like this one's the layup. Like you said, even last year we saw Henderson was the guy. I'd have to pull up how many times Stevenson outscored Henderson. It was few and far between. I've always kind of even been a Stevenson doubter, right? And so I wasn't crazy about him. I thought he was just like the body there, but never really showed flashes of talent or anything exceptional. But this one is easy as it gets. I will say, like, Henderson, a full, you know, just looking at sleeper, like a full three rounds. I'm not loving that 405 price, like in the Yahoo, even the ESPN price a little bit more. But yeah, Henderson for sure over Stevenson.
Wait, we're on the wrong side here. I think I've been hearing you wrong. You're on the Henderson side?
Yeah.
Dude, I'm on the Stevenson side here. Absolutely not. This is so easy to me.
Stop.
Oh,
what?
I absolutely have. Look, I don't love it. I'm not saying I like what I'm doing here, but I'm saying sometimes you just have to go where the points are going. That's what you do in fantasy. Unfortunately, not all of our favorite players get to be the best. That's just how it works. Christian Watson, it's taken so long for him to just be good, and I've had to put up with it. But okay, let's open up this book here. How bad was Trevion Henderson? He was a bad pick last year. I have seen so many podcasts by people I respect, people I really enjoy their takes, and they're saying that Henderson wasn't a bad pick. You're dumb. You're dumb. You're dumb. You're dumb. You're dumb. He was a bad pick last year, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. God. The fact that we're having these quote unquote casuals, you know, the people that are coming to us, we're giving advice at QB listers as fantasy analysts, and we're telling you, no, hold on to him. No, I'm sorry. They're in a 10 team league. Their bench isn't that deep. They have other injuries. Like, he had to have been dropped. He was dropped in so many leagues. I had to drop him. Did I want to? Did I know what was going to happen? He was going to be great a few weeks later down the road when somebody else had him. But that's why he was a bad pick. You didn't get to play him right off the bat. That means he's a bad pick. And Ramondre Stevenson, as slow and boring as he is, he gets it done time after time.
Crazy.
We see him in the offseason get it done. Traditionally, going back, looking at Josh McDaniel, his running back, the one that has the later ADP always outperforms the first one. And folks, that was the Tom Brady era. That was stats that I believe Andrew Cooper pulled that nugget. I found that last year. But I was like, okay, maybe this is a new regime. Maybe we don't believe it. No, we believe it here. And we're not even done. We're not even done.
Crazy.
Go look at what Mike Vrabel, the head coach, the man that makes questionable life choices. Look what he did for the beginning of Derrick Henry's career. Sat that man on the bench for three seasons. Sat behind DeMarco Murray, who, okay, yeah, he came off a great year.
Okay.
But this man sat behind Deion Lewis. Yeah, that guy. He sat behind Deion Lewis. They didn't release him until year four when it was time to pay him. Hey, we're going to let you have a career season right before we pay you. Dumb on dumb on dumb. This is a layered cake just frosting all over. Just... All right, I'm done ranting. I'm done.
This is, again, I've always been a Stevenson hater, so it's easy for me. And I'm going to just credit to Stevenson. His last 2 weeks last year, 24 points in week 17 against the Jets, wins you your chip. Week 18, you're not playing anymore, but 34 points. I love to see that. But Henderson from weeks 9 to week 18 was running back 10. And I know what you're saying is like, yes, you didn't get him for like the point you drafted him, but he showed up when you needed him in the playoffs. Like, even Kyron Williams was like, is this, I don't know. I'm getting lost in it. But
he'd show up,
I like
to pick him up off the waivers.
You're right. In those leagues that, you know, a 10 team, maybe you did have to drop him, right? You drop him for like a sexy waiver wire name. I get that. But I think Henderson's going to be very integrated into this offense. He's the younger guy. There's value in Stevenson. You take him three rounds later, four rounds later. But, and again, I don't like Henderson for his sleeper price of 405, but.
If you swap these two in their ADPs, I think it's completely normal. I think this is what it would have been 6, 7, 8 years ago. But the fact that the RB26 starting with week one, RB26, 42, 36, 25, 43, 42, 69, 34, and then in week 9, he was RB20. That is a handcuff with flash. That is all Henderson is. And we are taking him as if he is a starter. He could be a great talent. I'm not saying he's not talented. I liked him going out of Ohio State. I wanted to go after him in rookie drafts, but like, that's just a flashy handcuff. That's all he is. That's all he is.
I thought this one was a layup. I thought it's like, yeah,
I thought so too.
It's crazy.
Oh, all right, man. That's all I've got for those two. You got anything else on them?
No, I mean, great points on both sides, right? Like, you like the value, take Stevenson. You want a good player, take Henderson.
You want talent, you take Henderson. You want value, you take Stevenson. I guess, yeah, I love that. Love that. Wrapping it up.
Oh my gosh.
Let's head to the Steel City. Let's head to the Steel City. Sure. Let's talk about a situation we've got brewing here. We've got Jaylen Warren. That's right. That guy got extended recently. He's still with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the new head coach, Mike McCarthy, finds this little piece of rubble there in the trash bin of the RB free agency pool. A guy he just played with just a couple seasons ago, Rico Dowdle, comes to town after the splash he made in Carolina last year. Jaylen Warren going across the board. We got 607, 907, 704. And then Rico Dowdle starting with sleeper. We got 711, 1001, and 712. So Rico is going behind Jaylen, about a roundish in all the platforms. Do you have a definitive I want him?
See, this one's a little bit closer. This one, when they are this close, I kind of like taking the cheaper guy. So that's definitely a big consideration for Rico Dowdle. And Rico Dowdle really was. I mean, there was a moment where he had two straight weeks of 30 plus points in half point PPR. Like, he just won you your week. Rico Dowdle did for two straight weeks. Now, don't get me wrong, Jaylen Warren has been consistent. He'll get you double digits more often than he won't. But just for this price, I'm the kind of fantasy manager where I like the Rico Dowdle. I'll let him sit on my bench. Maybe he scores the 20 plus on my bench. That's okay. I'm going to try to flip him. I'm going to try to just immediately turn him into something I trust a little bit more. So that's how I feel between these two. I like Dowdle.
All right. Okay, cool. Folks, we're going to agree. We are going to agree in the show. If you were nervous, you're a little worried. If you're like, oh, Brian just lost his crap. Yeah, Brian, it's okay. I'm back to normal.
Chose violence.
Came back. I did. Maybe I shouldn't have had that one first.
I thought it was a layup.
I did too. And like all of a sudden it started like dawning on me. I'm like, wait, he's not saying the names that I think are registering in my head. But no, on this one, I we're coming in tight. I like the Rico Dowdle call. Honestly, I think a lot of this comes down to how do you believe this team and offense will function? Mm-hmm. How do you believe that they will fare? Is this team going to be average and decent? Or are they going to be crap like they kind of were last year and just no excitement at all when the offense comes out there? Jaylen Warren, known as the pass catching specialist, the guy that'll be out there a little bit more versatile. Aaron Rodgers was clamoring to get him more touches. Well, everybody's saying that he can do it, Rico can't. Let's just hold the brakes with this fun stat. The fact that Rico Dowdle has caught more passes than Jaylen Warren over the last two seasons. So just for you saying that all Rico Dowdle is a thumper, it's not quite true. It's not quite true. And we've seen the relationship with him and Mike McCarthy. I'm taking Dowdle. I love the price argument. That's like an easy out for us to just take that. But also, I think if one of these can be, let's go lightly with the finger quotes, league winning. Or I guess if one of these guys is to highly outperform his ADP, I think Rico Dowdle has a higher chance to blow off the roof than Rico Dowdle, or than Jaylen Warren does. And I think that's why I lean that direction as well.
I would agree. I think Dowdle's a little bit more explosive, so you like him there. To just play a little devil's advocate, to give Warren a little bit of an argument, yes, the head coach is gone, Tomlin is gone, but you could say Warren just knows the building a little bit more. He knows the offense a little bit more. He's had a year with Aaron Rodgers already. So you could make a little bit of a case that Warren, just as the guy that's more familiar with everything going on, he's going to get much more opportunities, right? Even if it's not plentiful opportunities, just enough to give him the edge week over week.
No, I like that. I like that. I think this is a situation, you know, you're drafting both these guys as, you know, RB, they're going as RB 30s, jumping into late 20s. And that's kind of where it changes things a little bit, but either way, at best, these should be your RB twos. Like, you shouldn't, most likely Definitely. These aren't going to be RB ones for you unless you're taking three straight wide receivers, a, you know, quarterback and a tight end. I still don't hate it. Like, if you do go that approach and like, these are the first running backs you go after, you've got studs across the boards up the top that you can kind of finesse your way in with the running back if you go that zero RB or however you want to categorize it. But either way, you're taking a swing, and I think it's kind of a decent floor or low ceiling.
Yeah, I would agree. And then just adding to that, it's like if you're taking a swing, like you swing for the fences is my kind of feeling about that. So just another point to dabble.
Especially, like, look at that 10th round in ESPN. Both these guys in 9th and 10th round. If you want to take a swing at both of them, sure, you want to play that game? Absolutely. You might come out with magic, or they might split the work and you're kind of pissed because you only have a flex. You never know. Good to move on?
Yes.
All right, let's go to that Windy City. Never mind. Never mind. I got ahead of myself. Let's go to Carolina. Yeah. I was thinking Dowdle and thinking we were on Carolina and moving past that, but no.
On to Carolina.
Dowdle moved. He made room for two more here. We've got Chuba Hubbard looking at sleeper 701, ESPN 1004, Yahoo 611, and then Jonathan Brooks 807, 1108, and Yahoo 1007. It's about a round difference from Chuba Hubbard and Jonathan Brooks about behind him. Yahoo, we got about three rounds.
Yahoo's crazy.
This gap is closing, folks. With every day that I get on social media and every draft that I am in personally, this gap is closing. And I'm seeing I took Jonathan Brooks ahead of Chuba Hubbard in New York City a couple weeks ago at the Flex Draft. Jay was on the corner. It was me at the two spot. I wasn't going to let him go 1-2 because I knew where it was going. And folks, the loudest noise that came out of that bar was Jay's fist on the table when he found out he was not getting Jonathan Brooks. Mario, go ahead and let us know how you're feeling about these two fellas.
Oh, my goodness. So I'm going to try to make an argument for Hubbard. And it would be the same thing we just said about Warren, right? Like, you're in the system already. You kind of have a good feel. I don't think there was any coaching changes in Carolina. So it's just like he's going to know what's going on. But at the same time, so is Brooks, right? Like, Brooks has been there. He just hasn't been playing. He's just been hurt 2 years. He's got fresh legs, people love to say. And Chuba Hubbard, I mean, he lost the starting job. Like, you can say he lost it because of injury. But when he came back, he was given the opportunities again. He led the team in carries for those couple of weeks. And he just lost it again because, frankly, he didn't deserve the starting job. He had double digits his first 2 weeks last year, week one and week two. He didn't get double digits again until week 13, surprisingly hosting the Rams. Like, nobody picked that to happen. But there is no reason I want to draft Hubbard, especially where Yahoo has him. To me, that's, I don't know what, they must be Panthers fans. But you definitely take the chance. You take the shot on the dark on Brooks versus what you already have seen of Hubbard.
Man. All right, let me do the same thing, because maybe it's just my algorithm where I'm at. Yes. Most of the argument for Jonathan Brooks doesn't need to be made. You know, he was taken in the second round. He was coming off a torn ACL out of Texas, and he was still the first running back taken in that draft class. He didn't play all of last season. So, folks, if you don't remember this guy, tore his ACL at University of Texas, was drafted by the Panthers in the second round. He came in his rookie season at the end of the season, played just a handful of snaps, and re-tore that ACL. Coming to 2025, didn't play the whole season. Now we're at 2026. This is year three. Full year removed from the ACL tear. That's great. We love a running back after he's had a full year to recover. But there's all that risk. I have an unhealthy, irresponsible amount of exposure to Jonathan Brooks in best ball, and he could ruin probably my entire season. Now, I got him really late, so maybe not necessarily, but this, where he's going, he's climbing higher and higher into these borderline RB2s that he really could spike your draft if nothing happens. He can go out there and just flop.
Definitely.
He can go out there and just not be his home self. It could take him a whole year of active running to turn into something. You never know. And Chuba Hubbard could just be the guy, and we just completely bypassing him. Or the other route, both these guys could be the 1A, 1B, and they both give you a borderline RB2, RB3 numbers, and it's just whoever got the double-digit touchdowns that week or who did get the touchdown that week. So I don't think it's a slam dunk with Jonathan Brooks. I don't want to say it's a slam dunk. That just sounds too arrogant, and we've seen arrogance with fantasy football. It ends with sackos.
Yeah. Absolutely, and that's a great point. Like you said, it's just – I don't think he's going to be going as late as he is. Like, I expect not a single double-digit round by the time most people are going to be drafting for Brooks, but – you bring a great point, right? Like, this guy has not played meaningful football for 2 years. So it's a dangerous place to be.
What is that mix that you're willing to dabble into Chuba Hubbard? You know, like, maybe not necessarily at cost, but like, let's play the game. Chuba Hubbard or... This man goes ahead of Chuba Hubbard, but I want Chuba Hubbard or Ramondre Stevenson.
I would pick Chuba Hubbard over that.
Of course you would.
I've never been a Stevenson guy.
Chuba Hubbard or Tony Pollard.
That one's dicey. I think I'd do Pollard.
Tony goes two running back spots ahead of him. Chuba Hubbard or J.K. Dobbins.
I love J.K. Dobbins, and you're going to get a hell of an eight games from him.
Yeah, I think I'd start with J.K. Dobbins, as long as all the reports. Let me add to Carolina offensive line, highest paid offensive line in football this year. They're also missing a tackle for a handful of weeks. Popped up with an injury last week. I don't read too much into that, but whilst they have one of the best offensive lines, or highest paid at least, they have one of the hardest schedules. So,
yeah,
it's kind of an impasse when you're trying to use stats like that. Would you rather have... I mean, honestly, we're after that, it's like R.J. Harvey, Kyle Manungai, or Chuba Hubbard.
Yeah, like another, again, I would take the risk on Chuba Hubbard, right? Because there is a chance where he is just the bell cow. There's a chance he just gets 20 carries a game. Maybe he's only averaging a little over three yards a game. But it's like, if he's getting 20 plus carries every single week, even the yardage will be meaningful. And then if he trips into the end zone once or twice, you know, congratulations.
Yeah, that's the right path. It doesn't sound great to me, but I'm like, Brian, there's a reason. That's the smart way to play football.
Yeah, it's not sexy, but it pays the bills.
It pays the bills. All right. Cool. Next one. Let's go back to Chicago, or let's finally go to Chicago.
Back to the Windy City.
Back to the Windy City. Let's talk Swift. Let's talk Manungai. Let's talk ADPs. We've got Swift at 5'11", 6'12", and 5'02". Kyle Manungai, 7'07", 11'11", and 8'12". Really not a good conversation on ESPN. It is the starter. No. It is the handcuff. But when you look at the ADPs of 5'11", and 7'07", on Sleeper, that feels more like it's RB1, RB2 situation. So how are... Like, I'm very high on DeAndre Swift. I think there's a huge gap between these two myself.
I agree. I'll say out of all of these, I think ESPN got the closest to getting it right. Like, my Nung guy was fun for a couple weeks. You know, he had his flashes of high double digits. I'll give him that. Like, when he hits double digits, he's going 16 plus for the most part. But to me, it's just Swift is the exact kind of player I picture in this kind of offense, right? And maybe it's because Swift was also a Lion and now it's a Lions, you know, personnel person, being as the head coach in Chicago, but Swift just fits the bill here. I don't know what it is. Manungai is pure handcuff territory. I think ESPN got this right.
I'm right there with you. I can agree that, like, some game script. We saw the game script against the Eagles. Manungai went out there. I think actually we talked about this a week or two ago, but it's I see it as a handcuff. Manungai is a, or maybe a flex with benefits. Is that how we want to look at it? You know, like borderline flex, but early in the season, borderline. I don't think he will be. Not until injuries start hitting, and then you're like, all right, let me look at that backup running back. Let me see what he has. And he has an immense upside, too. Swift goes down. Like, I think Roshon Johnson's going to work his way out there a little bit, but I don't believe that, like, Manungai wouldn't see some work, you know, if Swift goes down. But
I agree. I'm looking at Manungai's stats last year, right? Because again, he did have a couple 16-point games. He had the 19-point game at Philadelphia, which was still crazy to me. But it's like, to do that, he needed well over double-digit carries. He needs 13, 26 he had at Cincinnati, where he scored 21 points, 22 at Philadelphia. So it's like, do I think Manungai is going to get 15-plus carries a game reliably? No, a majority of his games, I'm seeing 0, 7, 6, 4, 5, 7, 7. That's just not, you can't pay the bills.
He had two games over 50% snaps. You know, like, kind of shows you what you
what
need
are we
to
doing?
Do there.
What are you, yeah.
This is a it's seventh one. Round running back. I'm not trying to knock him. He still has skills. He still has use here on the team, but let's not get too excited there.
I'll say he's a great handcuff, right? Like, we've seen that if Swift misses meaningful time, Manungai will be league winning, but it's just, that's where you're drafting him for.
He feels like one of those running backs that if he has to take over, he could fall into an 80-20 split. Whereas some of these guys, like, oh, you're going to be in a 50-50 timeshare. Like, there's no world with the starter going down that you are a bell cow. You will, like, Woody Marks. Woody Marks, no matter how many players go down in front of him, they will find somebody else to go out there with him because he cannot do the whole thing.
Yeah. Really good way to put it. I think he almost, it kind of reminds me of Algier last year, right? Where it's like, if Algier was on his own team, like, I think he would be an absolute terrific starter, but he just happens to be behind Bijan. Kind of same thing with Manungai. If he was somewhere, he's getting high double-digit carries every single week, he goes in this fifth round, sixth round conversation. And maybe that's what ESPN and or Sleeper and Yahoo think is going to happen, a midseason trade. But just where he's currently located, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, 100% agree with that. Anything else with the Bears running backs?
No, I can't. That was a fun one to talk about, though.
Let's go to Washington.
That's one less fun.
a little less fun. It's a weird one for sure. But we've got Bill, Ja'Cory Crosby-Merritt, and we've got Rashad White. And this one is a bit more fun because neither one of these players is leading ADP in both spots. So Rashad White, we got 10-11. ESPN, we got 11-06, and Yahoo, 10-12. Ja'Cory Crosby-Merritt, we have 9-12. 12-10 and 10-10. So Ja'Cory Crosby-Merritt, you're getting him cheaper on Sleeper and on Yahoo, but ESPN, Rashad White is going cheaper. So how we depict, I mean, we kind of talked a little bit just with the Laremy Tunsil injury that we can see that playing a little bit into this, but how are you approaching these two?
This one is a really fascinating one. And I'll say, even though it's a bit of a mess, because it really could be, to me, this is almost a true coin flip, and it could even be pure committee, right? They do have a really easy running back schedule. So that is a reason to look this way and do the deep dive. So I see that they have the sixth easiest running back schedule. We know when this offense gets cooking, they score points. So there is meaning. There is a reason to do the deep dive. I've used this argument a couple times already this episode, but Bill, he's been there a year, right? Like, if he's going to have the sophomore season, do we think he takes that sophomore step forward? Or versus Rashad White, who, although he was always kind of behind Bucky Irving, when Bucky missed time, White looked, I'd say, more than serviceable. I think White's biggest thing against him was just his lack of opportunities. I'm looking at a lot of his games last year, and I'm seeing low to mid single-digit opportunities. So in the games he did get decent opportunities, right? Like, I see 14 carries, finished RB7. 17 carries, RB10. So it's just, who do you think is going to get those opportunities? I'd probably go White. Maybe it's just because he's been around the league longer. I've seen him a little bit more, just something I feel more comfortable with, but I wouldn't fault anyone. Like, yeah, I guess, how do you feel about this?
This one feels a lot like, I'm trying to remember which one we talked about it, but very particular on the team build, what you're looking for. Did you kind of punt the running back position a little bit? And are you looking for like a starter out of one of these two? And are you looking for floor play or are you looking for a ceiling play? I think a lot of it plays into how you view the Commanders this year as well. If they are top half offense, if they are scoring a lot, if they are involved in games, I think Bill could give us a decent low end kind of RB2-esque, you know, between touchdowns and just the amount of volume and work. I think he can give you that. On the other side, Rashad White, we know that receptions are so much better for running backs than just a regular carry. Like, you have the choice between them getting one of the two. You want them to get the reception, especially, you know, obviously in half PPR. So I think Rashad White could kind of nickel and dime his way into the same amount of points as Bill. And it's just, how much is he required to be out there on the field? Are they in garbage time? Are they having to play comeback a lot? Is Jaden Daniels having to dump it off to Rashad White because they're just blasting through the line and he doesn't even have time to recover? He spent a lot of time on his back last year. He was injured quite a bit. So the dump offs might come a little sooner. And Rashad White, we've seen him handle that well. So end of the day, I think both of these, as I have them ranked, I think they finish pretty close to each other. I think it's just more, do you need just an every week player from Rashad White, or do you need spike weeks that you're going to get from Rashad White?
I love that. And you made a great argument with the pass work, right? Like, that made me just do a quick look at it. Bill, the most targets he had in a week was 2. In fact, after the bye week, they had a week 12 bye last year. He didn't see a single target. They were just like, Bill, this ain't your game. Rashad White didn't have a single game with fewer than, granted, it's 1, but at least he had a target a game, usually hovering around 3-4, probably around 3.5 average. He had 45 targets. If you want to do the quick math, 45 divided by 17, that's how many targets he had. So yes, I do like that flat 2.6 off the top of my head,
which is unfortunate. Like, we're all sweating trying to figure out who the number two target was going to be for Jaden Daniels. I had a lot of reason that it could be Rashad White over Chigakonko, which I like Chigakonko a lot. I thought there was a great reason to kind of draft him as a streamer, but Rashad White seemed like he could have come out of this possibly as the number two target. Stephon Diggs, I think it's going to eat into that possible target share.
Yeah, definitely. And I've liked Jacoby talking about him a lot in the years we've done this show, but he's just, I'm worried. I don't know if year three, like, you know, if it hasn't happened yet, I don't know if he's going to turn into the butterfly, but it's a possibility. The
traditional tight ends, they break out usually around this like year four or five. So I still think it's possibility. And if you're going to bet on a late breakout, you want the athletes. And that's why we're going that direction with Chig.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I mean, it might just be an ugly ass moth inside there and not a butterfly in that cocoon. That's what happens, right? The ugly butterflies are called moths. And
yeah. Yeah. They're the same thing.
Yeah. Same thing. Speaking of more same things, let's go back to Chicago. Let's talk about these wide receivers, back man. Same thing. Luther Burden, Roman Dunze. Is there a difference? I don't know. Either way, we got young guns in the house. Luther Burden a little banged up. Roman Dunze, the touchdown man. This dude was a deviant, just blowing it up last year. First 4 weeks looking great. Comes off the bye. Had a good week. A little banged up. Daddy got on Twitter. And things just kind of went downhill from there. Now, we got reports that the issue in his foot is just something that's going to be there. He's going to have to get past. Oh my God, don't ask me what that actually means, because the Twitter doctors are going at it from either side in these conversations. But really, it comes down to two things. He can either deal with the pain, figure out how to work past, and it's going to be fine, or this is going to hinder him his whole career, and he's never going to be the same. Or somewhere in the middle. But thoughts. Luther Burden, Roman Dunze.
Which is crazy. I really like Rome for the price for so many reasons. I just looking at the best games between the two, Luther Burden's best games came when Roman Dunze missed time, which, like, obviously that makes sense, right? Like, if one's not there, the other's going to get those extra opportunities. But the way I look at it is Rome is going to step into that DJ Moore role, right? Like, he was playing the two last year. I think he's going to graduate to being that one. I know some people are thinking Loveland's going to be that primary target. Loveland's obviously going to get his fair share, but I don't know. Rome, like, he's also 3 inches taller than Luther Burden. Maybe that matters. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. I'm really excited about Rome Odunze. As long as we keep Papa Odunze off of Twitter, that's the big stipulation.
Yeah, I was really hoping that there was going to be like a correlation with that. Like, he blew up after that. No, we didn't get
no,
what we wanted.
We did not.
Honestly, look, I hate to be making today's episode about price, but that's a lot of what the cost comes down to when you're doing fantasy football. Yeah. Seventh round at ESPN, I'm fine with that. The at 5'10", the 5'6 turn on Yahoo, I can get behind with that with Luther Burden. But 409, that's just, it's reckless. It's reckless. That's, it's crazy. If you have convictions and you believe in him, we say go get your guys. So I'm not going to call you an idiot for going to get him. I won't ever play that with myself. And I really like Luther Burden. I want to have him on as many teams as I can. But end of the day, this isn't just a Luther Burden or Roman Dunze situation. This is a, is it Luther? Or is it Odunze? Or is it Colson Loveland? Or is it the running game? You know, like, does Caleb Williams throw for 4,000, 4,500 yards? He might not have to. This offensive line is one of the best in the league. That's why I like DeAndre Swift as a top 16 play this year, top 18, somewhere right in there. I don't remember. It's Kyle Monunga. I have him in the top 36 as far as running backs go. The Colson Loveland could be the number one target. So then you're taking the number two target on maybe a balanced team in the fourth round? That just seems dumb. So... yeah, that's just where I am. I have a lot of Odunze. I've got a decent amount of Burden. I'm hoping to get more Burden as, you know, his ADP falls a little bit with this injury. But the Bears offense, I want some. I'm just grabbing the cheapest pieces.
I like that. I like that a lot. And to me, I really think the Odunze, I think this gap is going to close as we get closer. It could be because of the Burden injury, but I don't know. To all of this, I'm not burdening myself with Burden for his price, right? Like, let's build Rome.
As we quote unquote try to make sure we, you know, as we're recording ourselves on a podcast, feel like we're pretty smart with the fantasy football realm. Look, when the masses come back and ADP adjust there, you know, we may be right about 80% of things that the casual doesn't look at, but then there's others that we just, you know, sniffing the farts. We think we're way smarter than we are. And it's like, no, it's way simpler than this. Just take the best guy. So we'll find out. Let's go to very similar conversation here as far as the situation we're dealing with here. We're going to open it up with the Jags. We've got Brian Thomas Jr., Parker Washington. Parker Washington absolutely exploded last year in year three. He's now coming into a contract year. So many layers to this puzzle. Brian Thomas Jr., former first round pick, top 10 wide receiver in his rookie year, comes back this past year. He's doing alligator arms. He had a friend pass away. We had injuries. We dealt with a lot of culminations of like just between head, body, and everything there. Parker Washington's blowing up. Who they would have to pay. Everybody's talking about how great he is and how much they love him. So Brian Thomas Jr., a first-round pick, making first-round money. Parker Washington would now get paid, making probably at least 25, if not close to 30 mil a year. Jacoby Myers, they traded for halfway through the season. They extended him as well. Oh, and what about that guy that plays both ways? Yeah, Travis Hunter, number two overall pick. He's making some money too. It doesn't make sense to me that they extend Parker Washington unless they plan to trade Brian Thomas Jr., but so much just madness here. I need to share both. You know, the prices are separate there. 606-908-802, 709-907-89. Mario, what are you doing in this situation?
Oh my goodness. To me, I really got to know how they have such differences. I like what ESPN does. They have them right next to each other. You can't be wrong. Sleeper. I don't know how there's such a big gap between Sleeper and ESPN and really the others, like three rounds of difference. I'll say out of all of these, I like Brian Thomas for, I'd say the Yahoo price feels fair to me, right? Like, of course you want the best price, the ESPN price. But to me, I just can't take the risk on Brian Thomas Jr. for that sixth round price. You're right. Like, we've seen it his rookie year. We know the talent is there. I expect the Jaguars to be fun on offense, right? I'll give them a fun on offense, but it's just, there's risk. There's some picks that, you know, you feel great about. There's others where it's like CMC. It's like, he's either going to win me the league or he's going to get hurt. That's the risk you take drafting CMC. Brian Thomas Jr., he's not going to even win you the league, but he could be a very serviceable, solid wide receiver two, potentially wide receiver one. Or he's going to not show up again, right? I mean, so many disappointing weeks last year. He really never got it together. I think he can this year. Maybe I'm just like optimistic. Maybe it's just a junior supporting another junior. But I think in this situation, I'm leaning Brian Thomas Jr. Parker Washington, like you kind of said, this is maybe big brain stuff, but it's just like, are they going to have him a little less involved because they don't want to have to pay him, right? Like you said, you can't pay everybody because they also traded for Jacoby Myers last year.
Yeah, which he's going a few spots behind. Like, this ADP is wrecked. They're all over the place, these four fellas.
This is the equivalent of the Commanders running back room just for wide receivers.
I will say it has a bit more allure. As we're about to slide over to the Cardinals, I want a piece. Chicago and Jacksonville are two teams I want in every single one of my leagues. I am leaving with at least one piece from both of those teams. I love going after teams second year in the offense. And these are two of the best play callers we have right now. Two of the best up and coming head coaches. They had great seasons last year. We're looking for a continuation off of that. Trevor Lawrence played out of his freaking mind in the second half of the season. And now a full off season working with these weapons. Absolutely stoked because everybody keeps talking about his rushing touchdown should come back a little bit, the regression. Sure, let's just throw it through the air so he gets points and the wide receivers. I'll get behind that.
Oh my gosh, this is gonna be a fun team. Yeah,
you ready for the Cardinals?
Let's do it. This one, I mean, nothing like a nice easy walk off to end it.
Yeah, I think this one's pretty simple. I'll let you take lead on this one because this is a conundrum, that's for sure. We're talking Cardinals wide receivers. We're talking Marvin Harrison Jr. We're talking Michael Wilson.
Yes. And I mean, this again, I swear maybe this is a Bernstein Bears situation, but I swear it was Marvin Harrison the second at some point. But everything I've seen always says junior, but I digress. And this is hard for me because normally I'm always a ride or die with the fellow juniors. But Milson, as I'm calling him, Michael Wilson, we talked about it when we did the NFC West preview. To me, he is a league winner. I do understand that we're probably going to see whoever they drafted. Was it Carson Beck is the guy they drafted, the quarterback? Yep. He killed it in the Hall of Fame game, so credit to him. We're probably going to see him at some point in the season. But listen, they just paid Jacoby Brissett. I expect him to get some meaningful time. And Jacoby Brissett showed he can ball. He showed who he favors, clearly. That's Michael Wilson. To me, this is Not even close. Yes, Marvin Harrison was a top talent once upon a time, but we live in the now. It's Milson or bust for me. This one's not even close. It's not even close.
Where are we booking, man? Not we can't get it figured out. No. As much as I'm saying no, Michael Wilson, I'm not really saying yes, Marvin Harrison Jr. If anybody's going to do anything out of this offense, not named Trey McBride, sure. I'll take a flyer on Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't mind. 705, 807, 708. Whatever. He's not probably going to be starting for me. I'll still chase the talent. I'll chase the opportunity. But you think I'm wasting a roster spot on Michael Wilson? 711, 910, and 907. Dude, I don't want a piece of this offense. I don't want Cardinal players. I don't want the tight ends. I don't want the running backs. I don't want the wide receivers. Surely don't want the quarterbacks. Brissett got more money. Cool. We still going to see him getting benched? Yeah. Is he going to do what he did last year? No. This is a LaFleur coming to town. This man does not want to get boat raced with this subpar offense, this subpar defense he is rolling out there. This man wants to go out there and get back to the locker room as fast as possible. We're talking running the ball. We're talking taking knees. We're just trying to get out of this because they are playing for 2027 in the future. They are not going to want to say, hey, go out there and go through the ball as much as you can because our jobs are about to be gone. No. Say first-time head coach coming out of the Sean McVay offense.
That's a good point. Mm-mm. Sean McVay, does he like to throw the ball? Does he like have a quarterback right now known for, you know, his
he doesn't like to
offense?
Embarrass himself, that's for sure.
You know, I like that you mentioned Sean McVay because, again, I love finding these specific segments. But week 11 to week 18, I consider that a large sample size, right? That's 8 weeks. That's half the season. Wide receiver 3 in that span, JSN, offensive player of the year. Wide receiver 1 during that time, Puka Nacua, pretty good. Wide receiver 2, what a weird jump around I did, Michael Wilson, who averaged 17.7 points per game. Brian, would you like a player that averages 17.7 points per game, and would you like to draft them in the first round with Puka, JSN, and Amon-Ra, who is 4, by the way, or in the 9th round, Michael Wilson?
Look, I get it. He finished up there. That's all fine and dandy. Michael Pittman was a top 6 wide receiver through the first 9 weeks. Did we really find ourselves happy with Michael Pittman last year? Did we really?
No.
Look, they all these guys, they find their shot, their sections. Quentin Johnston, do you remember that? We were talking about getting rid of Jamar Chase for Quentin Johnston at one point because things were so bad.
Oh, like, you learned how to catch.
No. No.
Oh my God.
No. I don't want to attach too much hope. And the fact that he could give you spike games every now and then, and then all of a sudden you're like, well, maybe I play him. Well, maybe I don't play him, but I put him on my bench. I just don't want to play that game. I don't like bad offenses. I really don't like to focus too much. And as far as the Cardinals and the Dolphins go this year, get out of my life. Hey, Browns, I usually root for you. Because, you know, it's sad and pitiful watching what that franchise is doing to that fan base. But get out of my life, fantasy players. I try to avoid.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, nothing we're a Milson podcast. we're Team Milson. Now, if you make it, I'll say you make an excellent point. Are they going to ask Jacoby to throw the ball 50 times a game? Probably not. But on the slim chance they do, dip your toe in the 9th round for some Michael Wilson.
Yeah, that's a no for me, dog.
Oh my God.
You and your Slim Shady, you can take that slim chance there. I don't want.
Oh my God.
Here's a question for you. Would you rather have
Tom Hanks?
Would you rather have Michael Wilson, or as some are calling him, one is calling him Milson? Would you rather have Milson or Kyle Pitts?
That's the easiest thing in my life. I would take Milson 10 times.
All right, we're done, folks. We're not even doing the outro. We're just shutting it down. We're getting out of here.
Milson will outscore Pitts. We could put that on the board.
Oh, God. We're done. We're closing it out. That's going to be all for the QB List podcast. Brian and Mario here. Mario, what else you got going on? Where can the people find you if they're looking for more of you?
Oh, goodness. People, one, thank you for trying to find me. You'll find me on Twitter at Mario Adamo Jr., but more importantly, you're going to be finding me here yapping with Brian. As the season gets started, I'll probably be doing some more written word over at football.pitcherlist.com or just qblist.com. Easy peasy, easy to remember. Be sure to give us lots of likes and thumbs ups and whatever positive affirmation your platform chooses to deliver itself in. But that's it for me. So Brian, we need more Brian. How do we get more Brian?
If you're looking for more of me, of course, it is here on QB List. You look at QBList.com. That's where you can find the podcast. It's where you can find all of the amazing articles from our team, whether it be our lead analyst, Jay Felicio, or all of the amazing writers we have underneath there. We're doing some mad great stuff there. But if you're looking for me, it's at @TooMuch_Brian on Twitter, at @TooMuchBrian everywhere else. I've got Too Much Fantasy Football, Too Much Movie Night, all of the great stuff. We've got a weekly pod coming at you every single week. If you missed the top 300 from Jay and Brett, check it out. But we got more coming up next week. We'll see y'all next time. Thanks for listening.